and she'd come here, you'll come here. You know, and that's what we do. And I remember getting my brother's face and saying, Mom, hit us. We deserve it. Hit us. So my brother's permanently scarred till this day. But in the Bible, we have two brothers that are in a feud called Tale of Two Brothers, Cain and Abel.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, Pastor Wayne will look at two brothers who couldn't get along. And no, we're not talking about him and his brother Gary. We're talking about Cain and Abel in the Bible, how one pleased God and the other fell short. It's a message entitled Insecurity, Cain and Abel, and that'll be coming up in just a moment. But first, we invite you to join the family of New Hope in a few minutes of worship.
Welcome the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Let's worship Him who loves us most.
This love comes to you, and we declare that you are good beyond all else. Sing it out.
Lord, you are good, and your mercy endures forever.
Sing, Lord, you are good, yeah.
Lord, you are good, and your mercy endures forever.
From generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you. For who you are,
for who you are, Lord,
we worship you.
Say hallelujah,
hallelujah.
with us now. I will worship you for who you are. I will worship you for who you are. I will worship you for who you are. Jesus, oh Jesus. We're learning a new song this morning. It just declares out that God, we will worship you for who you are. Despite circumstance, despite picketers, God, we worship you for who you are. Because you are worthy. Let's sing. Standing here.
Standing here in your presence, thinking of the good things you have done. Waiting here patiently, just to hear your sinful voice of holy, righteous, faithful to the end. Savior, healer, redeemer, and friend. I will worship you for who you are. I will worship you for who you are. I will worship you for who you are. Jesus, oh, for who you are.
Let's sing. Standing here,
standing here in your presence, thinking of the good things you have done. Waiting here patiently, just to hear your still small voice. Holy, your righteous, faithful to the end. Savior,
sing it with Jesus,
Jesus.
Oh yes, Lord, we magnify your name.
Here now is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled Insecurity, Cain and Abel.
Welcome to New Hope, everyone. Would you take out your notes with me as we continue in our series called Defining Moments? Today, we're going to do a little different thing here. It's just something I'm going to address. And so you notice we haven't had a big program of any kind. We're just going to go straight to what I want to say and what I feel the Spirit of God is saying to the church. And it's something that we need to address and also keep our hearts open to. I want to talk about insecurity through the tale of two brothers. You've all heard of their names before, Cain and Abel. That's right. They were the first two offspring of Adam and Eve when they were expelled from the garden. And so they have two sons, Cain and Abel, and they start to fight. Oh my goodness. How many of you in growing up ever fought with your brothers or sisters? Raise your hand. Yeah, about 95% of us. Yeah. My problem was my brother took karate, and he would learn something in the dojo and come and try it on me. It was his good pleasure to try to, as quickly as possible, cause me to be a paraplegic. Now, I too would watch black belt theater, you know, and watch these guys do these karate and jujitsu, but I was more interested in the noises that they were making. You know, and they would fight, all of these noises. It'd sound like someone getting into a hot, scalding, Japanese furo for the first time, trying to ease their way into the hot water. Whoosh! Po-yo! You know, I thought, that's what they sounded like. And so I'd make their noises, you know, and I'd just laugh. And so when we would fight, my role was supposed to be make the noises. His was to kill me. And so he did. And then he'd beat me to a pulp, and then he'd start beating the pulp. So I knew I had to get him back. So in those days, my mother drove a 51 Chevy out of Palolo Valley with three on the column and a bench seat. Now, my mother was Japanese, 4'10" tall, so she didn't have much height on her. So she sat on a pillow, because if she didn't, she'd have to look through the steering wheel rather than over it. And so in those days, you'd just put a pillow down, and she would sit up. Well, I would be once in a while, kolohe, not often, but I would try to get back at my brother. I remember stealing her pillow, and she was supposed to take us to this thing, and so my brother and I were in the back seat. So she sat down, she's looking through the steering wheel, she said, "Who stole my pillow?" And I was hiding it, see? "Who, you give me back my pillow, right now, right now." And then I would say, my brother's name is Gary. "Gary, give Mom back her pillow. Here, Ma, I got it for you. Thank you, Wayne. Gary, you're gonna get it." And I laugh in the backseat. Poof, he starts punching me. Remember you draw lines like, "Don't come across this line." And he'd poo me, hit me again. I'd start fighting with him. Now my mother's driving down Carlos Long Avenue onto Palolo Avenue, and she's saying, "You kids, stop it. Stop it right now." And then she'd say this, "You want me to stop this car on the side of the road and murder you both? You want me to kill you? I'm going to stop this car. I'm going to stop." Do mothers still say that? They never do. So we just, keep fighting because she's never going to do it. But when she says a certain word, you know she means business. Now, I don't know what this word means, and I apologize if it's a bad word, but I never have found out what this word meant, and it's the word gonfunnet. She said, "Gonfunnet?" I said, "Gonfunnet." I have studied the etymology of this word. I have not found out what it meant. It could be Chinese. All I know is when she said it, duck. Because this little short 5-inch Japanese arm would come across the bench seat and like a sickle, just shoop, try to catch us. She was aiming for our eyeballs. She'd, come here. You know, I said, "Come here." It's like, "Okay, you know, come here." And we'd be laughing because her little hand would be going, like, "No big deal. Come on, Mom. Your arm is only this short. You're 4'10. And she'd, come here. You come here. You know, and that's how we do it. And I remember getting my brother's face and saying, "Mom, hit us. We deserve it. Hit us." So my brother's permanently scarred till this day. But in the Bible, we have two brothers that are in a feud called the Tale of Two Brothers, Cain and Abel. Cain was a tiller of the ground. He had he did vegetables and things, and Abel was a shepherd for the flock. Now, they're both going to bring an offering to God. One is going to be accepted, God's going to delight in, and one God's not going to delight in. Now, you say, well, does God not delight in certain things? Uh-huh, but I thought God was love. Yeah, but God doesn't delight in everything man does. By the way, just recently, there's been a rash of accidents, and even being a grandfather, when there's a little child involved, it just breaks my heart. And some people come to me and say, hey, Wayne, is that the will of God? Let me tell you this, the will of God is seldom done on the earth. So when people say, is that the will of God? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Well, how come God didn't stop it? What if God stopped you from doing wrong? As soon as you want to do something wrong and try to hit somebody, all of a sudden your hand would go, oh. You want to say something bad, you want to turn and whack somebody, every time just, you think we could love God? You see, God wants us to love Him from our heart, not from our stopped actions. Because love includes volition. If there is no will on your part to love, it's not love. It might be duty, might be mandate, might be something else, but it's not love. And God didn't come to build robots. He came to invite us into a loving relationship with Him, where from our hearts we do His will, not that He then does external things to stop us. So when someone does something wrong, could God stop us? Sure, but He didn't come to bring robots. He came to invite us to love. Well, what if we reject His love? That's why the world is in the condition it is. So what do we do? That's why the Bible says repent. Repent and come to Christ. And if you've never come to Christ through repentance, please do so. You say, well, Wayne, what happens to all these little kids? Listen, God never judges anybody because of immaturity or ignorance, nor does He judge you because of the mistakes of another. What happens to these kids? They're swooped up in the arms of God. And remember this, folks. Remember, we're going to live a lot longer on the other side of the line than this. And I'd rather have Him give me peace on the other side of the line than peace on this and destruction on the other. Sometimes we want leisure on this side only to find out that there's something that is in animosity on the other. No, there's going to be times your life on this side may not be all the best, but because of faith, because you trust in Jesus, you can guarantee that the other side of the line, which is a whole lot longer than this side, that you will be walking with Him. And those little kids will be at an age where you'll recognize them and they'll say, we're fine, we ended up better than you ever thought. So God's grace is there to swoop them up and to bring them to His heart forever. So there's going to be all kinds of things going on in this world, and we're going to be a part of that. I want to talk about how easy it is to get caught up, though, in the negative things of the world and sort of lose your identity so that you become somebody that God never created you to be. And when that happens, you start living a dual life. And when that takes place, you're not whole anymore. Now, one of the things about salvation is the word salvation, when you get saved and receive Christ, that word salvation is a Greek word sozo, which means whole or complete. But see, what happens sometimes is, like Cain, he saw Abel getting better than he got, and he wanted that. Instead of dealing with his own problem and his own attitude or whatever it was, because we don't know, it just says Abel gave the first of his flock, whereas Cain may have gave his leftovers to God. There's a problem with his heart. So instead of dealing with and correcting with and repenting, he would blame his brother for doing better than him. And boy, is that human condition. We have a tendency to, when we see someone getting more than us, instead of dealing with our faults and frailties and the reasons why we're not getting that, we just blame other people. We get upset at them. And when that happens, you kind of say, well, I wish I was him. I wish I had his wife. I wish I had her husband. I wish we had their house. I wish we had their money. I wish we had their lot in life. And all of a sudden, you leave who you are and you become someone that you wish you were over here. Now you're split You know what happens? You're no longer whole. You're living two different lives. And you know what that's called? It's actually the breach of one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Because when that happens, you're no longer whole. You start living a life over here of desire and want. And that's why the Bible says a life of wanton pleasure, where you want somebody else's pleasure, then you can't do what God is wanting you to do, and you don't grow and you don't improve and you don't change over here because you're living over here. And then we're mad at God because that's not really ours, it's a virtual thing. So we get angry, and that's called insecurity. Now, when there is a sense of insecurity, because it'll breed insecurity to your wife, your children, to yourself, your future, etc. When insecurity happens in your life, three things take place. And would you write it in? You'll see bullets and three lines there. One of the things that insecurity, that living the dual life, causes to take place is, number one, you'll find that you're going to be stricken with and you'll be vulnerable to jealousy. Would you write that in there? Jealousy. Well, how come Abel got his accepted? How come you're pleased with Abel? I'm not. How come you are, God, you're promoting that person in my job? I should get that promotion. How come that person has more money and I don't? How come he has a better wife or better kids or better car, whatever it might be? And jealousy is one of the first signs of insecurity. The second is you get angry, or anger is the second. You're angry at God. And you're going to see that Cain is going to be angry and his countenance will fall, which means his attitude goes bad. And God's going to point that out to him. He's angry. And the third is you become vulnerable to, here it is, deception. Deception. You're going to look at your lot in life and you say, well, this is dissatisfying. Look at my family. Look at my job. Look at my car. Look at where I am and my lot in life. And look at his. Look at hers. Whoa. And so what happens is you think this is bad and she's good. He's good. That's better. You're going to look, say, that's better. This is bad. But when in actuality, this is good and that is bad. But when that spirit of deception comes in, you won't even be able to see things and hear things that are correct. Now, I'm going to deal with a spirit of deception that's ravaging the church, and many people, not many, but some are getting their life obscured by the spirit of deception. And when the spirit of deception comes in, you're going to look at your spouse as not good and somebody else's as better, when the reality is that's not good and this is better. You stay whole, and you're gonna have to contend for wholeness, because your desire, your flesh is wanting to go out that way, and it'll split you up. Now, here's the thing that's so dangerous about the spirit of deception. The spirit of deception, where you see things incorrectly and you think it's the truth, the spirit of deception takes root very well in the soil of Christianity. It blends in really well. Because this person still goes to church, still praises God, but lives out here and lives a dual life. You go home and you think it's fine. Go home, you think it's fine. And it's causing insecurity, and it's going to cause jealousy, anger, and finally a spirit of deception. But the spirit of deception works really well. It blends right in. It's very soluble with Christendom, Christianity. And so it's something we'll have to understand and catch right away.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Insecurity, Cain and Abel by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.